Life Audio.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations.
We want families to come here and gain insightful strategies that empower them to successfully teach diverse learners at home.
Hosted by founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool, Peggy Ployer.
Our goal is that these powerful weekly conversations will boost your confidence to cultivate the best at-home learning environment for your student.
For more homeschool resources, go to spedhomeschool.com. You're listening to Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer. We'll start the conversation with Peggy and her guests next. This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool, a nonprofit that empowers families to home educate diverse learners. To learn more, visit spedhomeschool.com. Here's Peggy Ployer.
Today, we are going to talk about how to shift teaching to unlock your child's learning potential. Maybe you know what that is, maybe you don't, but a lot of us know that we have kids that could probably do and strive and be a lot more than they actually believe in themselves or we know how to pull out of them. And so I'm super excited about this conversation as we're kicking off a new month here on Empowering Homeschool Conversations. We're talking about alternative ways to help your kids to kind of get to those learning life goals that maybe traditional therapies don't always help in. And so today we have Mandy Frost with us. Welcome, Mandy, and thank you for joining us on Empowering Homeschool Conversations.
Thank you, Peggy, for inviting me.
Absolutely. So Mandy works as a coach, and we're going to talk a little bit about that and what coaching specifically is. But I always love to start out my conversations by just having my guests share a little bit about themselves so that our audience can get to know them. And I would encourage you also, as you're popping on, I see we have quite a few viewers on already, just to share this with somebody who maybe is at a stuck point with their child. I know a lot of people usually after the holidays start homeschooling, and maybe they're at a place where, what do I do next? This is a great conversation for you. And so make sure you share the link off of YouTube or Facebook, wherever you're watching from. And then a comment in the feed too. We'd love for you to be part of the conversation if you're joining us live. So Mandy, to get us started, can you share with us a little about your homeschooling journey and how you got started?
Sure. Well, I have three sons. They're now young adults. Youngest Wow. one is 22. Oldest one is 26. So it seemed like a little while ago. We're just saying to Peggy before the interview, yeah, it was about 4.5 years ago when I ended my homeschool journey. So when we began many years ago, we were living in Zimbabwe, Africa at the time. And I always wanted, yeah, always wanted to homeschool our children. We didn't want them to be in the educational system. You know, we wanted to bring them up, let them know what our, you know, Christian values were. And right, so it was something that we always wanted to do. And it was, you know, when we finally did homeschool, it was really quite challenging because a lot of people in our area didn't actually know what homeschooling was. We were very, very wow, few families yes, were homeschooling at the time. And so it was quite a daunting, you know, I really felt a lot of conviction, but I had to have a lot of courage as well.
Right.
To do something
that
that's
a great word.
really believe God was showing us to do. And right, it took a lot of courage. Our conviction was really what got us through and to actually start it and not be and be okay with being sort of like almost alienated in a sense, because we really were,
it's true,
as far as other people, you know, thought we were kind of doing our children a disservice, you know. And, right, and interestingly, what I was always asked when we started homeschooling our children was, well, are you a teacher? And I right, constantly got that question, and I'm like, well, yes, I am a teacher. God has equipped me to be a teacher and to
That's
train
a great
my
answer,
children.
Yes. Absolutely.
But I think also with regards to that, people didn't really know what it was. And particularly if you are sitting in a school box where this is how I was taught, this
yes,
is how I did school, this is how education works. And so it's, you know, you need to be a teacher in order to teach your children. So that is the mindset mostly of what people don't really, when people don't really understand what home education is.
Right. Yes. It's a very different animal than just taking a school and putting it in your house. And so, yeah, so it's a common thing for people to ask, you know, are you a teacher? And I know a lot of teachers who started homeschooling and they said actually that did them a disservice because it was so hard to get, like you were just talking about, Mandy, that idea of school out of their homeschool, because it just is completely different. I know you're going to be talking a lot about that, so I'm not going to elaborate anymore on that myself. But it's a very common question, and I would love just for our audience to really know. Use Mandy's answer when somebody asks you that question. Yes, I'm equipped. God gave me these children, and I have everything I need to teach them. So, and it is so true. And you will find that over and over again as you just trust in his provision to do that. So did you always, I mean, I guess from the answer to your question, you probably didn't always feel confident in your homeschooling efforts, maybe even at least at the very beginning. What did your journey look like on how you gained confidence from when you started throughout the years of your homeschooling?
Yes, and I didn't have that confidence in the beginning. I did feel those doubts because I had that. Well, I mean, I knew God had equipped me, but I still had those doubts because can I really teach my children how to read? Can I really do what I need to do to get them ready for the real world?
Yes.
And so it was a learning experience, and I had to recreate and redesign how I wanted education for them to look like. And I knew that I wanted them to love learning. I wanted them to be inspired. I wanted them to, you know, find their interests and learn from real life learning on the farm, where we had a lot of, nature in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So I really struggled. I struggled for many years, I have to be honest, of trying to balance the, you know, how much desk work do I need to do? Like, you've obviously got to teach them the reading skills and the basic math. And how do I balance the fun part and the desk work? And it wasn't really easy. And because I wanted them to make connections with what they were learning with regards to their desk work, if you like.
Yeah.
With regards to, you know, applying those skills in the real world. And so this is what I was trying to, you know, I wanted them to always enjoy learning, but there were times when they didn't. They were little boys. They wanted to go play in the backyard. They wanted to go make forts. And that's what they did a lot of. You know, they ran barefoot. They hardly ever wore shoes on the farm. And it was just a real boy's world for them.
Right.
And so when I used to call them in for some desk work, I often used to get, you know, resistance. And so I really struggled with that because what I also discovered was where my two older boys had learning differences and, you know, dyslexia, ADHD.
Right.
And I actually, that really was hard for me because I thought, what am I doing wrong? Can't read like everybody else? And, you know, starting to comparing my children to my friends' children who were at school and they could read better. And I had this doubt in myself. And so it's a journey that we all go through. And so it's just going through that and trusting the Lord. And so what I also did was I did a learning a special needs certification through the UK to see if I could help my kids with their difficulties. And actually that was a good experience for me because I realized that I didn't need to have done that, but doing that just gave me the confidence in realizing that what I was doing, I was on the right track. I was giving them hands-on experiences. I was baking with them, cooking with them, showing them, you know, multiplication skills through real life work. And is really the multi-sensory is really what I was already doing. And so it was, you know, my third son, when he was reading autobiographies at the age of seven, it was a wonderful, you know, thank you, Lord, just for this confirmation that it's okay. It's okay. They're all at different phases. They're all, you know, different developmental, you know, areas of their lives, different learning abilities, and it's okay. You know, just sit back from that and be okay in that place. The Lord has given you each unique, your child, and they're each going to learn differently, and it's okay.
Absolutely. And that is such a good point. And we start comparing and we, you know, all the fears and all those things, you know, start coming up, and we put it all on ourselves. And what a confirmation for you to be able to go and to get some training and just say, yeah, you're doing the right thing. And also that third child, that was the exact same experience I had. My first two were the struggling ones, and my third one was the one who just kind of like started speaking in sentences before she was 9 months, and then yes, asked for books at, you know, the week she turned three, and started school, and just like, okay, what do we do with this child? I knew what to do with the first two after a while.
After a word from our sponsor, we'll dive back into this conversation.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool. Go to spedhomeschool.com to get resources and support for teaching your unique learner at home.
It is that, you know, it really isn't all me. It's just every kid learns at a different pace, and it's okay. And just to confirm that for our listeners, because I know a lot of them struggle with that. And we put those doubts and those fears and then the anxiety in our homes raise up too. And it doesn't make it pleasant for all of us, but to embrace that barefootedness and running around on the farm, I love that. So I'm sure you have some good stories to share from that. Do you have one that you want to just share that is a favorite of yours?
Oh my goodness, there's so many. We had what they love to do was go outside and look for butterflies, look for caterpillars, and watching them. You know, that metamorphosis.
Oh,
yes.
We had
our microscope there. We had lots of chameleons in our backyard and insects. And we had ducks and geese and rabbits. And so they were always exploring and just having a look to see what new creature they could find. And then one of their favorite things, because, of course, we had a huge backyard. I mean, we were on a farm, and I often couldn't find them if I wanted to call them to come and do some work. And I had this little bell that I had to use because otherwise I have to be shouting for them or looking for them, because we had these huge big rocks that they used to climb. I used to go hiding and, you know, well, where are they? They need to come and do their reading. And so I had this bell that I used to ring, and then they had this funny game that they used to play with me. Is they used to come in and then hide under the desks to see if I could find them. And I used to pretend I couldn't find them. And I'd go into the little schoolroom. We had a little schoolroom there with all our activities. And I'd be calling them and saying, where are you? And they would just thought this was really funny. But meanwhile, they were hiding under their desks. And so they were just full of, you know, mischievous little boys on the farm. And we had a lot of fun times.
Yeah. You know, that fun factor is so important. And just being able to kind of go with you know, how carefree kids are and to go at that pace. We have that ability as homeschoolers, and we don't often embrace that because we let that anxiety, those fears overcome us. But just to say, yeah, that this is a game, and we're just going to, you know, go with the flow. School will get done. But also that we can't forget that our kids look back on those. And my kids were reminiscing. We were on vacation this last week, and we also lived on a farm during those formative years of my boys and my daughter. And the stories that they then shared with their friends when we were sitting up by the campfire of those experiences was so interesting to hear from their perspective, not ours, and the things that they remembered and really cherished from those times. And so sometimes we get so caught up in, you know, can we get that list done, these things finished, and we forget that these are things that are formative in those stories that our children are going to be retelling themselves throughout their lives.
So if I could just add one more little thing, is you know, your listeners, if you could just read to your children, you know, every day as often as you can, that those were our golden moments. I mean, we used to grab a book and go and read outside, or they used to journal while I read to them. And they have some very fun memories with reading. Sometimes a book is so exciting that we just read it for the whole week, and that's all we do. And I honestly think that helped their vocabulary skills.
Oh, absolutely.
Particularly my oldest son, he actually developed very good multi-sensory learning abilities, particularly with auditory, because he listened very carefully to what I was saying. And also what I discovered, and I did a bit of an experiment, where my children had to move around when I read to them because they couldn't keep still. When they were keeping still, then they weren't focusing. And so I let them sit on a bouncy ball or do things that weren't they didn't need to concentrate, like colouring in. Doing a puzzle was a little bit, if they had to concentrate too much doing something and they wouldn't focus.
Yeah, right.
And so let them move. If that's how they learn, in fact, that's how they learn the best, especially with kids with ADHD. Let them move around. Let them, you know, you'll ask them questions. They'll be listening to you a lot more. And,
yes.
You know, in the conventional school system where teachers tell the kids to sit still, they're focusing so hard and keeping still that they're not focusing
exactly
what the teacher's saying. So they actually lose concentration. That's very interesting when you try that and experiment with your children.
Yeah, that asking the questions just to make sure that they're, you know, still there, but allowing that freedom still, that kind of give and take, it can do wonders, especially for those kids, like you said, that are have a little more active and have a hard time focusing. But that's a great point. And yes, those books, story time, that is so special. You know, and I guess that, you know, just the way that you individually worked with your students is probably a little bit of what we're going to dive into. But I wanted to start out by asking you, you know, that what's the difference between coaching and teaching?
So teaching, if we go right back when we have our children, when they're little, obviously we've got to teach them right and wrong. We've got to train them up in the ways of the Lord. And we have to, you know, right from little, teach them how to brush their teeth, tell them not to cross a busy street, don't touch a hot stove. You know, we're constantly teaching them, training them, telling them what they need to do and what they shouldn't be doing. And so you're in this teacher mode and, you know, we're giving instructions. And then what happens is when our children start to grow up and become a little bit more independent, you know, whether it's, you know, going from five years old, hopefully they can start brushing their teeth on their own. And so you need to take a step back and then start to sort of start coaching them. And so the difference is, you know, you're moving from, you know, telling them, giving your opinions, giving your advice, making suggestions, these are my ideas, let's do this, to asking them the questions. Well, what do you think we should be doing? So you're creating in them a space for them to figure it out, a space to also challenge them to do the things that they should be doing. Perhaps they're forgetting to do their chores. And so the shift that I talk about is there's a time when you need to move away from the boss, parent, manager, where you're constantly telling them or on their case, to being more of a curious coach, where you're asking them, where you're inviting them, you're inviting more conversation and getting them to problem solve with you. And often what will happen, and depending on the ages of your children, is you're going to be moving between the two. Obviously, there's times when you teach them, there's times when you train them and tell them what they need to be doing, and there's times when you get to challenge them as well.
That's kind of a great gradual progression there. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gradual. Yeah. No, that's no problem. And so it's the challenge is where we want, where we should be coaching them and we're teaching them, where we should be in the coaching mode. And that becomes when it affects relationships with your children, when you constantly are feeling like you have to be the parent to the rescue, you know, mom to the rescue, parent to the rescue. I've got to make sure they do their chores. I've got to make sure this. And it doesn't, you know, it's making that shift in also helps create more relationship and more space. We can talk more about some examples as well on that.
Yeah, and it's hard because we get so into that when they're younger, that teaching mode, to then transition and to really let go and to make that shift from the teaching and or even to know the difference of when do I do this and when do I do that. I'm such a black and white rules type person that those sometimes are really difficult for me. So I'm hoping that you can elaborate a little bit more on that. And I'm sure you will as we talk, but what does coaching specifically look like and how do parents actually coach their kids?
So this is a very big conversation for the time that we have. And so I want to just try and keep it as simple as I can with regards mm-hmm. to, okay, so I'm supposed to ask them questions. So let's start there. Like, what kinds of questions am I supposed to ask them? Okay. And so let's look at, you know, what I always say is the types of questions are important. So I say, you know, try and use the what and the how questions as opposed to the why questions. I'll show you more about how that works. And then try and use more open-ended questions where it's not just a yes or a no. And also using questions where, because you want to try and hear more about what do you think. You want to get to the heart of your child. You really want to hear them. And so you're asking questions like, you know, what else should you be doing? Or how are you feeling? Right. Or what else could be another solution to this? So what else, how else? Those are wonderful little questions that you can use because you're wanting to always get them to tell you more as opposed to you doing all the talking all the time.
Right.
So,
yes.
So God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth, and often we use our mouth way more than our ears. And so coaching is the shift from saying too much and listening more and giving them the space. And so if we use an example there with regards to, you know, when I said try not to use why questions, because why questions can be more judgmental, and when you use a why question, you are putting them on the defensive. They immediately feel like they need to defend themselves. So let me just maybe give you an example. Would that be helpful?
Okay. Yeah, that'd be perfect.
So if you have a child, let's say you have a child who's often late for things, or perhaps you're going off to church and there's possibly a child in your family that is, I want to say, almost always making the family late for church or late for an event. Let's maybe use that example. And so what you would be, when you are in the boss manager kind of teacher mode, what I also didn't say is you are focusing in on solving the problem. That is your main focus. We've got to be on time. Where the coach mode is looking at, okay, let's look under the surface here, under the iceberg to see what else is going on. Yes, we want to solve the problem, but what is going on with the child? What are they struggling with? And so you're trying to understand.
So it's kind of like instead of the immediate solution, we're looking at the long-term solution here and getting to the bottom for the whole thing. Okay.
I like how you summed that up. And so you would be, you know, so what you would do in the boss manager mode, problem solver, parent to the rescue, you'd say, you know, why are you late? Why? Or often what parents would say is, why are you always late when we go to church? Right.
Right.
And we shouldn't use the word always or never, but sometimes we do that because we get frustrated. So you would say, why are you late for church? And it's almost like now they've got to get the defensive. Now they've got to get into the defensive. They feel like you're in judgment mode. And more than likely, there's going to be some kind of blow up of some sort when you're in this kind of mode. And then what you do is then you problem solve for them. And depending on the ages of your children, so this is where you need to decide, you know, how you would do this. But then you'd say, why are you always late for church? You need to do this. And then you solve the problem for them. You need to set your alarm clock, or you need to have breakfast earlier, or you need to make sure you don't, you know, only shower for 10 minutes. And so you give out the solution. And what normally happens is that does the child really learn from that? You know, are you helping them create more like responsibility, accountability? Not really. And so often it affects the relationship as well. And it makes the parent more frustrated.
Right. Yes.
So we want to move away from the why question and the problem solving mode and the curious coach. And what that would look like is you'd want to maybe give some empathy first. Well, I know it's really hard for you to remember to be on time or to be on time because some children really struggle with that. It's an executive function. There's a time management. There's a whole lot of other things going on here, which that's another whole conversation. So, you know, a suggestion of what that could look like is the empathy. I know this is really hard for you. I know that you struggle with time, you know, but how can we find a solution to helping you be on time? That could be one way. Or you more than likely know what it is, but you want them to actually say it. Like, What is distracting you?
Exactly.
And you might know, well, they're waking up early, and but let them say it, because then they can find the solution for themselves. And it creates a lot more invitation for a conversation.
Yes.
And so what could you do? So that could be a question. What could you do to make sure you're on time? And if it's a younger child or a child that maybe doesn't really have any ideas of, like, when you're asking what is your plan, they won't always know what
exactly
that is.
Yeah.
You say, how about we figure this out together? How about we brainstorm some ideas? And then as a coach, you would always ask the question, what do you think? So if you make a suggestion, how about have a what do you think at the end? Just helps them to invite them for their ideas and their buy-in, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense, because it allows you to facilitate, but it also allows them to be part of that conversation instead of, like you said, always on the defensive. And really, a lot of times they just haven't fully thought that out. And it's like you're scaffolding the conversation to get them to the point of a solution versus just saying, okay, I'm going to have you make this leap from here to here when you're in a stressed out moment. And none of us do well with that. We don't problem solve well when we're under stress or under a time crunch. And so that totally makes a lot of sense. It's just very difficult, like you said, but at the very beginning, we're stressed and we're frustrated. And so we often shift to that other mode of, I'm just going to solve this problem. Let's just get this done. We got to get moving. So yes, a lot of sense.
Yes. And also when you are coaching, it also helps you to calm down as a parent, because as you said, you know, we can't rationalize in the moment. We can't rationalize when we emotionally, we're late again, we're stressed out. And so, you know, what I do with parents as well is I show them how this works with regards to, when do you have this conversation? In the moment is not a really good idea.
Right.
It's something you would think about. It's something that you will have a planned coach conversation where then you would talk about it afterwards. Maybe you've now, you know, gone to church, you've come back and say, hey, I think we should have a conversation about, you know, how we can get to church on time. What do you think? When would it be a good time to talk about this? Especially if it's a very older teen, you want to give them a chance to think about it. And hey, when should we talk about this?
Right.
Inviting them into that conversation, because it's something that you need. And then you are arriving more calm. You planned your conversation. You planned those questions. I show parents how to do that with regards to what does this conversation look like. And the whole thing is, you want to be the calm coach. You can't be a curious coach or coach parent when you are, you know, angry or frustrated. And so we're calming down those emotions. You can't make those rational decisions. And so that is part of, you know, looking at that whole thing. But there was something else that I wanted to say. Because with this conversation, you're also wanting to not just get them, obviously the self-awareness is a very big part. And
yes,
going back to, they may not have the solution, and that's okay. Let them start thinking about what the solution is.
Right.
It's okay. Sit in there. Well, I don't know what to do. That sit in that for a bit. Be okay with being uncomfortable in the I don't know, because you are helping your kid with self-awareness. Because as parents, we're good parents. We want to solve. We want solutions now. It's okay to not just try. And I found that very hard personally for myself. Like, I have to deal with it right now, but no, I don't have to.
Right.
So what I also show parents is, connect before you correct, because obviously if you have to tell them something where correcting them in the moment, they're hitting their younger brother, obviously you've got to tell them, no, you can't do that. So
right.
I'm talking about, you know, when it's not urgent, we don't need to teach them the lessons right then and there. And I have to say this to myself over and over again, even now, just be quiet. Think about it, come back to it. It's okay. You don't need to deal with it right now. And so that, I just want to encourage parents, it's okay to just come back late, come back and then do the correction.
That's so true. And that was a lesson I learned as a young mom too. I was raised in that, you know, the punishment comes right after, you know, whatever happened. And that timeout period, I just struggled that was not the punishment. That was the calm. That was what we just needed to think. And then when we came around to the being calm and having the discussion was then we talked about the consequences of what had happened and how much more profound of a teaching experience that was when we could have that conversation calmly and really look at it from the perspective of having thought about it. And just what friction that caused or, you know, whatever had happened. And we talked about, you know, just how was that disobedient to God's law, disobedient to other people, you know, and having a really fruitful conversation with my child versus, you know, just putting the hammer down and saying, this is wrong. This is what you did. And this is what you should have done instead of they were part of it. But it was definitely a hard shift from me in my upbringing as well.
Yes, and that was one of the things I didn't do very well when my children were growing up. I really didn't. And I didn't use these coach strategies with my children. And so I tell parents, I didn't do these things. So it's never too late to start coaching your child.
Absolutely.
I get to do these now with my young adults. And my husband and I, you know, we have these free conversations about, hey, how do we go about this conversation? What do we say?
That's so good.
And we kind of hold each other accountable because, you know, we tend to hand out the advice and we just got to take a step back
right.
and talk about it so we're on the same page. And that's really important.
And
just going back to consequences and, you know, so when you're going back to that conversation and you're saying, okay, so what are some good ideas? You know, what could you be doing? And maybe your child is saying, well, you know, I can set an alarm clock or two alarm clocks to get up, or I can make sure that I'm having my breakfast by this time or make sure that I'm showering by this time. Whatever solution they come up with, you want to also hold them accountable. You want to help them to follow through. And so that is often the hard part as well. And also knowing that they're going to fail at it again. They're going to make mistakes. And it's okay. Give them some grace, but have a plan that you're going to come alongside them in helping them to follow through with what they said. Because now when they're saying the solution, it's also very powerful. When they say, I'm going to do this, now it's their words.
Right.
And, you know, I talk a lot about also the regular check-ins to see how is it going? You know, what's working, what's not working here?
Right.
What could you do differently? And so you're constantly coming alongside them with regards to that. But also a lot of the time is, you know, you wanting to, you know, there's coming up those consequences. You know, I talk about three different kinds of consequences. There's the natural consequences and the parent determined consequences. And then I also talk about, as a coach, depending on the situation, is maybe those mutually agreed upon consequences.
Oh,
and so, for example, an older teenager, you say, well, what is going to happen if you're going to be late for church again? Like, what do you think would happen? And sometimes it's the natural consequences, and you can get them to think about, well, how does this affect the whole family when you're late for church?
Right.
And just talk about, you know, what is that going to look like? What do you think should a consequence look like in this regard? And just see what they say. And I find, you know, with regards to, I find a lot of parents will use one consequence, a main consequence to deal with anything that they do wrong. And this just creates a lot of resentment. And a lot of the times I find it comes to, well, just take the device away, use social media, use technology as a punishment. And that really, it doesn't fit the crime, obviously, unless they have abused their tech privileges. Yes, then it fits the crime. If I say crime, it doesn't sound like a very nice word.
Yes.
The behavior, should I say.
Right.
But, so, you know, when you use just one consequence, it creates a lot of resentment. And so we just be careful of that and just say, so when I was just using an example, when I was coaching a student a couple of months back, and he was really resentful because his parents always used technology or his devices, take away the device every time he did something he wasn't supposed to be doing. He was very resentful. I said, well, what would you have chosen as a consequence? Just curiosity. And he says, well, I would have done everyone's chores for the whole week. And so I said, well, how would that have felt for you? How would that have been for you? And he said, that would have been really hard for me. Like, genuinely speaking, he said, that would have been a really hard consequence because he wouldn't have actually had time for his devices because he was so busy doing everyone's chores. But he says, that would have been better than to take away my devices. And it was, I think also just he felt a bit of almost like a power struggle where they used it as a power tool over him. And I think that just created a lot of the resentment. And so just to encourage parents to have the conversation about what do you think could be a consequence in this situation, and just get curious to hear. It doesn't mean they're going to get let off, or you think, well, then they're going to think of a really easy consequence. Well, just that the point is to just hear them, just hear what their thoughts are. And that's really what coaching is what are they thinking? What are they feeling? And what are their ideas?
And even if they came up with something that was rather minor, because my kids would do that because that's what I did. And I'd say, does that really fit to re-honor the person that you just dishonored through this whatever you did? And of course, they say no, because it doesn't. And or just, you know, what would it take then? And so we would have that back and forth. And you can, but it opens that door, like you're talking about, Mandy, that we need to start opening instead of just saying, closed, done. Lisa, who's watching, she said, yes, I always use technology. That's all he cares about. Hopefully this will just open that conversation for you too. And there may be other things that your son cares about that, that, you know, just, and like Mandy was talking about, they've got so much going on in their heads, and just to get in there and to allow them to see just, how else they might be affecting other people in their household too. So, you know, our conversation is on potential and unlocking potential in our children, homeschooling, and, you know, just in general as a parent in our kids. How can coaching and the things that we've already been talking about unlock that potential in our kids?
Well, I use Proverbs 20, verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, and a man of understanding will draw it out. And that's really what we're doing, is we're opening the doors for communication, because coaching is communication. It's a much deeper way of connecting with your child, of really hearing and listening what is going on beneath the behavior.
Right.
And it is about getting them to feel heard, feel seen, you know, and to really just get down and curious as to what is going on. And so really that's going to unlock potential in many areas with obviously relationship, you know, as you are showing up more calm, but also it's unlocking potential in the parent as well, because now it's about my change, because as I ask, you know, you're also helping your child to coach themselves with that self-reflection, with that self-awareness. We're asking ourselves as well, you know, when we're becoming coach parents, it's like, okay, so what do I need to change? What am I not seeing here?
Absolutely.
What does my child need from me? How can I be the parent that I need to be? Because very often we become the mean parents that we don't need to be. Because
I've
we're
heard
showing
that so many
up
times.
In this,
yes.
This frustration of just, you know, we get frustrated with things that they do. And it's about, you know, it's when we can change the way we are viewing them, to change our lens, if you like, our perspective.
Yes.
We're going to be looking at more of the things that they are doing right, because we're focusing on the things that they're not always doing right. And so it's like taking that step back and seeing them the way God created them to be, but also challenging them in, you know, wanting them to change their behavior, wanting them to also see their sinfulness, their sin, and we're wanting them to come closer to the Lord in their difficulties as well. You know, obviously there's grace, there's forgiveness, but we want to model the behavior we want to see in our own children, and that is the hard part. But it's also encouraging, because when we mess up, and we are going to mess up, as we say, you know, it's wonderful because we can restore. God is, you can say, please forgive me. I messed up. Yes, I'm, you know, I've done this wrong. And that is a conversation to have as well. If you're being convicted of anything, it's like, okay, Lord, what do I need to look at? That is that I need to start changing myself without the shame and the blame and the, you know, just go through that and say, Lord, help me with this. And we all have our difficulties, and forgiveness goes a long way and restores relationships.
Exactly. Yes, yes. I've been studying just about how the heart of Christ is gentle and lowly, and just how I need to be that gentle and lowly, forgiving person in all of my relationships. And you know, it's very convicting that that judgment wants to come out, but yet to meet somebody in their hurt and their struggles and say, let's go through this together. I want to carry this weight with you. And that's a whole different perspective, but that's really what you're talking about with coaching, is that we aren't saying, well, look at what you did and here's some more baggage to add to that. And let's, you know, let me fix that for you. But no, I'm just going to walk alongside you. We're going to have this conversation, and through, you know, these questions that you've been leading us through, I can see that we're offloading a lot of this, you know, problem solving, the skills that we as adults have developed probably better than our kids, and teaching that, those concepts, as we're walking alongside them. How biblical is that? So, yes, absolutely. That's awesome. So, we had a couple questions. Why don't you go ahead? I was going to say we had a couple questions from viewers who submitted them ahead of time. And I just want you to know that when we send out our email blast on Monday nights, the day before the broadcast, we allow you to do that. So if you're not on our email newsletter list, make sure you go to our website at spedhomeschool.com and get on that list, so that you're getting those regular emails and you can submit your questions ahead of time. You can also go to our broadcast schedule and do that for broadcast way ahead of time if you'd like. But we had two viewers submit questions that Mandy and I talked about ahead of time, and I'd love for her to address, because they do very much fall into this the conversation we've been having. And the first one I want to share is from Amanda R. She says, what do I do with my feelings, fears, and stress about homeschooling? And how do I get more cooperation from my children without making them feel bad by putting guilt on them? And I know this is kind of a recap of what we've been talking before, but do you want to specifically address that through some of the things that we've talked about and anything else you have to add?
Well, definitely, you know, using coaching strategies with regards to helping them with more cooperation is really asking them. Sorry, let me go back a step. Often what happens there as well is, what are the expectations? Are they aware of what your expectations are?
That's
are you
good,
clear
yes.
in actually what you are expecting them to do? Maybe they can't do the things that you're expecting them to do with regards to executive functioning skills, or just remembering to do their
yes.
chores, or there may be some difficulties that they are struggling with. And so coming alongside them, knowing, is it clear? Is there... With regards to chores, do they know exactly what they need
right.
to do, and what does that look like? And so again, you can have that conversation. That's another whole topic. And helping them with consequence, as we've spoken of as well, is helping them
right.
get on board and what that looks like as well.
Oh, yeah. That's perfect. Yeah. So great summary of what we've already talked about as an answer to that question. And then we have a question from Elizabeth B, who asks, how do I stop being a box checker to unleash my kids from standards? And how common is that? But I'd love to have your answer on that one.
Wow, this is a great question. It really is a great question. And so it's maybe take a journal, I would maybe suggest, and really pray about, like, what are those boxes that you're wanting to tick off? You know, what are those things that you really want your kids to do? And then just ask the Lord to just show you which of those boxes could you maybe not be ticking, or
yes.
what does that look like with regards to expectations again? You know, what are those standards? And there again,
right.
it's also a big topic, because we have different personalities, and we have,
right.
you know, parents who are maybe they perfectionists, or what kind of personalities, or maybe kids have different personalities as well. And so trying to communicate in ways you know, maybe even doing the love language, you know, there's, you can search Chapman love languages and see maybe connecting with them on that level. What is their love language? How do they feel valued? And what's it got to do with your box checking? Just be curious about how that fits in and just journal your thoughts and ask the Lord to show you what that looks like. So hopefully that helps.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know when we started this conversation too, you were talking about, you know, just that comparison with, you know, other kids that maybe went to school, or, you know, we often do it still with homeschooled students too. And so those standards that we hold ourselves accountable, and we almost feel like we have to make more boxes to keep those standards from falling away from us. But I love how, you know, you basically dispelled that myth. We can get rid of the boxes and still, you know, have kids that really live out their godly purpose. And I would love for you to spend just a little bit of time talking about, you said that you are a very entrepreneurial family and that your kids have fallen suit with that. And so I'd love for you to share with just, how did you share that with your kids? And then just as far as like modeling it, and how has it affected them and their post-homeschooling choices?
Yes, well, you know, bringing them up on a farm back in Zimbabwe, we had our own business, and we were always wanting them to think about being the producer, not the consumer. So we used that phrase quite a lot as they were growing up. You know, instead of always playing the video game, think about creating and designing the video game. You know, what are the needs around you that you could make you? What do people need? What are their, you know, how can you create your own little business or something that you can rather be the producer? And so we often had that little mantra, if you like, or phrase that we brought into our homeschool. And then right from little, you know, we didn't believe in, I mean, everyone's different, all families are unique, but we didn't believe in like giving them pocket money, if you like, or money for, the only time we did give them money was when they learned a skill. So for example, reading, we used to encourage them reading with as many books that they could read. And we had some sort of formula, and that's how we gave them money for all the books that they read. And so that's what we did. But every family's different. But what we had was, you know, they had to always, you know, earn, you know, find, we also had another little phrase where it takes hard work to earn nice things and to appreciate and value that those things cost money and they have value. And so we never bought them phones or computers or anything like that. They always had to save up. And so as a result, we always encouraged that. And so, you know, when they were much younger on the farm, they had this little store that they used to go and sell to all the community around them, and they would go and, you know, sell to them. And my younger one would also bake cookies at from about 7 or 8, and he used to go and sell his cookies and his baked goods to the nearby coffee shop. And so we always encouraged that, and also just regards to appreciating those things, learning the value of things. But also what we did was, the other one that we spoke about a lot was, you only have a credit card to build your credit score, not to spend money that you don't have. And so it's building your credit score is about being a good steward of, you know, being a wise steward of what the things that God has given you, because that is really, you know, that's what you have a credit card for, because, you know, one day they have their score for their, you know, going to get an apartment or buying something and have a good credit score. So those are the kinds of principles that we implemented with them and modeled ourselves. And so as a result, my oldest son has his own online business. He is very much into marketing and digital technology. I don't know exactly everything that he does, but he has contracts with various companies to advertise for them on his channels and that sort of
thing.
Awesome. So he has his own business. And then my youngest son is at college, and he is putting himself through college with, you know, he has his own website design company where he does building of websites for people. And then the other son, my middle son, is in construction, and he's working for a company. And right now he's talking about possibly going out on his own, maybe buying houses, doing them up, selling them. And we've also tried to tell them that you need to upskill yourself, constantly skill yourself.
Absolutely.
And you can learn on your own. There's so many YouTube channels to watch, and it is just so much at our fingertips to learning all those skills. And so I think the bottom line here is, whether they end up having their own business or not, you want to try and give them that that entrepreneurial mindset, that the possibilities of what they could do, they won't necessarily always, may not always work, but that they're constantly thinking about, you know, how could I make this into a business?
Right. Yes. And our kids did the same thing. I mean, I think just having your kids on a farm, they learned to, we sell eggs, we made soap, we, you know, you just do all those things. And it's such an experience, but it does build within them that curiosity of what could I do that wouldn't be traditional, as far as, you know, I just following the script of we do school, then we do higher ed, and then we get a job. And I know that dynamic is changing a lot, and a lot less people are taking that avenue. But I think homeschoolers really kind of set that trend of, you know, really helping your kids find that curiosity. And I just, you know, hear that through your questions and the conversation that we've had today, is that that coaching can really help us in that pursuit of helping our kids to really know how to critically think through a lot of those things that, instead of just programming them, this is your next step, this is where you go. It's kind of like the long-term version of what we're trying to stop as they're younger, and giving them the answers and just helping them, you know, later in life. So I applaud you for just, you know, we had this conversation before we even started, but parenting young adults is so hard. And so if you can start these coaching types of things when they're younger, they'll be ready for these conversations with you. And they really do need sounding boards. So to be that parent that is there, and who's already worked on this, I'm sure that you probably appreciate, you know, that you started this at least before, you know, your kids got too old.
Absolutely. And it's a learning journey, and we're going to mess up. We mess up, right? And we say things we shouldn't. And so it's a constant, you know, as the Lord, you know, shows us, as the Lord changes our hearts, as we learn to do it better. And, you know, it's just as though we're building relationship and connection. And that's the most important thing.
Absolutely. Yes. So true. So I would love for you, as we wrap up, to share a little bit about some of the resources that you have for homeschoolers. I'm going to pull up your link here. So Mandy's website is mylifecoach360.com. And then if you go to /resources, this is where you're going to find some of the things that she's going to talk about.
Yeah, so there's a couple of resources that you can take a look at. And the one resource is called Connecting with Teens. And it doesn't have to, even if you've got younger children, I give you a couple of tools that you can use. And we've been talking about,
awesome,
with regards to what that looks like, what do the questions look like. And so you can go ahead and download that if you would like to know more about what coaching looks like. You know, I coach individual coaching, parents, students. I do group coaching as well. I have memberships for parents that they could join as well, learning these coaching techniques and trainings on how to do that. I'm also in the process of launching a homeschool program, which I'm very excited about. So if you are interested in learning more about that and getting very good launch discounts, you could, you know, just go to my website and, you know, you could hear more about that. But it's really about transforming family essentials with regards to building relationships and healthy habits on truth. It's really awesome. Also helping them in their faith as well as they, you know, building on the solid foundation of Christ.
Right. Yeah. So important. And in the world that we live in, all the more important. So definitely check out Mandy's resources. Again, her website is mylifecoach360.com. And I know our podcasters, you'll see it in the description of the podcast, as well as on the YouTube channel. And then for those of you watching the video, you can see it on the screen. So Mandy, thank you so much for all that you've had to share. Lisa said, ladies, thank you. So you are welcome, Lisa. We appreciate you joining us for this conversation. And yeah, thank you for taking time. Mandy, you were traveling this week and you just said, I'm going to do it while I travel. So I appreciate you doing that and taking time out of your time away.
Thank you, Peggy. Thank you very much. If I could leave two questions, can I do that? Leave two questions for parents?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So just as a, see what the Lord is showing you, just these two questions that I like asking is, what do I need to let go of?
Great.
What do I need to embrace? What do I need to let go of, and what do I need to embrace? And so just take some time with the Lord and just ask him to show you what that looks like. And that could be maybe your next step is to, where do you go from here? And I hope that encourages you.
Oh, absolutely. Those are questions we need to be asking ourselves all the time. Maybe build that into your weekly digest for your planner. Yes. Very, very good. We often grab onto things that we shouldn't, and we don't pursue the things that we should. And so always putting that before the Lord and asking, what should I be doing and what shouldn't I? Always, always good, because our tendency is to fall into things that sin drags us into instead of what the Lord does. Yes.
Absolutely.
So this was a wonderful conversation, Mandy. Again, I appreciate your joining us. And for the viewers out there, thank you for watching or for listening, if you're listening on the podcast. And I do encourage you to check out Mandy's website and all the resources that she has. We're going to continue this theme next week, actually for the next 3 weeks. We're going to be focusing on these alternative ways to help your student who may be struggling, stuck through some very alternative therapeutic methods, and coaching definitely is one. We don't often think of that. And so I hope that this conversation today really helped a lot with that. We're going to talk about motivation next week. And I know a lot of you send questions to us about, how do I get my child to actually do this and you know, have their mindset changed? And I know coaching will definitely is the beginning of that. And our guest next week is going to talk about, how do we fix intrinsic motivation in students? It's that inner motivation that our students have. And so we're going to kind of delve in just a little bit deeper than we did this week with that, those core values our kids have, and how do we start changing that around. So you'll want to join us back for that conversation next week, same time and same place. So thanks again. Thank you again, Mandy. And thank you to our audience. And again, send in questions ahead of time. If you have them for motivation, be thinking about that question as well as you go through this week, and questions that you have for our guest, and send them in to us. So have a great week, everybody. God bless. And we'll see you back here next time. Bye, everyone.
I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
This has been Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer.
I'm Don Hawkins, inviting you to be encouraged with my weekly podcast, Encouragement for You. To subscribe, go to lifeaudio.com.